It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are definitely moving into fall. For those of you who resist the notion, I think Augie said it best in his school report this morning, where he mentioned that in the last 7 days, we've lost 21 minutes of daylight. The sun is definitely coming up later and going down earlier, and that's going to continue. We are, let's see, today is the 11th, so we're about 10 days out from the equinox, and those, of course, are the most greatest loss of daylight in the entire year. And of course, in the springtime, conversely, the greatest gain in daylight in the entire year. So it's going to be getting much, much easier to go out and look at the stars. Now, many of you probably have seen the stars all summer long, but I can't stay up that late anymore, so I'm actually glad that it's getting darker earlier so I can go out and look at the sky. It's always thrilling to look up and see the Milky Way and sort of think about, there's a lot of stars out there. Anyway, I hope that you will take that chance and go outside. The deer flies are gone. The mosquitoes are, not too bad. There are still some mosquitoes around for those of you who feel the need to go out and maybe help yourself to a few last opportunities to put a mosquito down. Among the true signs of fall that I'm seeing, of course, the maples are becoming ever more colorful. I saw my first maple in solid color. So I watch the maples. I see, here's one that's got a bright orange branch. There's one that's kind of got a yellow branch. There's a beautiful one there that's green and yellow and red all in the same tree. But this week I saw a maple tree that was red top to bottom entirely. And that is a sign of fall for sure. So they are coming. It is probably 2 weeks before we'll reach our peak of color, but it is definitely on its way. And the maples are probably the most ostentatious of the fall trees that we will be watching, but not all of them are hiding their efforts either. I noticed that the black ash have actually gone past their peak of color already and are beginning to lose their leaves. Now, it depends on where you're looking, but there are a number of black ash swales or little patches of black ash that have become quite yellow, and there are some. There's a patch along the river road that has gone beyond bright yellow and has faded into brown, and there are some bare trees among the black ash. So some of the early black ash have already lost all of their leaves. The roundleaf dogwoods and the hazels, these are shrubs. Now, this is brush. This is low stuff. And the roundleaf dogwoods and the hazels are starting to become ever more obvious. They are the interesting thing about the hazels is that this is a perfect time of year to figure out which is the American hazel and which is the beaked hazel, because the beaked hazels are turning yellow and the American hazels are turning red. And the roundleaf dogwoods are turning red as well. And if you're driving down the road this morning and you're looking at the underbrush along the edge of the road where you're driving, you may notice that there are some red shrubs in there. If you look carefully, you'll see that one of those red shrubs is on the blue side of red, slightly burgundy, slightly just not that really sharp, bright red, but sort of toward the bluer side of red. And that's the roundleaf dogwood. And if you take a closer look at the roundleaf dogwood, you'll see big leaves, big round leaves, and they have these berries on them that are on these beautiful red cymes, structures that hold the berries, and they're bright red, and the berries themselves are kind of sky blue right now. And so check out the round-leaf dogwoods. The beaked hazel, as I mentioned, is yellow. The American hazel is red, but on the other side of the red spectrum. So the round-leaf dogwood's on the blue side. The American hazel is on the red side, or on the yellow side of the red. So it's more of an orangey red, as opposed to a kind of a deeper, bluer red of the round-leaf dogwood. So yellow is beaked hazel, red, orangey red is American hazel, and the bluish red is the round-leaf dogwood. And we talked about the black ash. If you look at Norway pines, you'll see that the needles on the Norway pines are turning brown. They haven't begun to fall yet. That'll happen in another week or two. And the white pines really haven't shown any signs yet of needle change. But we'll be watching them, and we'll see where they're going. Pin cherry, I don't know if you were listening. I had a daily phenology note about pin cherries the other day. And the pin cherries are these interesting trees that some of the leaves turn red while others remain green, and then the red leaves will fall off, and then other leaves will become red, and some of the leaves will remain green. And this whole process goes on for quite a while until it's just a kind of a thin thatch of reddish leaves on the pin cherries, and they'll be falling off. But I was looking at my pin cherries yesterday, and they're about half red and half green right now. Box elder, the ash-leaved maple, as it is called, the box elders are becoming brown, yellowish brown. Part of that color from the box elders are the seeds. The seeds have these big wings on them, and those wings are called samaras. And the samaras are quite pale brown as well. So look at the box elders. You'll notice that they're kind of brownish yellow right now, and part of that color is the samara of the seed. The white cedars are starting to turn. The needles on the white cedars are starting to turn. Now, the leaves of the white cedar are just like needles on a tree, except they're kind of flat. And those needles at age 3 or 4 or 5, those needles become old and are cast off by the tree. And so the white cedars, if you look at them, you'll see this orangey color as the older needles begin to senesce and die away. Balsam poplars, the kids from Warba were mentioning balsam poplars. The leaves are yellow to brown, and they're coming down. About 25% of the balsam poplar leaves are on their way to the ground right now. So you can kind of bid them goodbye for the year, and they'll be out in the spring with that really strong aromatic smell that comes along with the balsam poplars. And woodbine, the vine that climbs up over everything, I'm thinking that woodbine is rapidly becoming the northern North American version of kudzu. And it is it's a vine, 5 big leaves, palmate. They come from a central location, and then 5 leaves out from that location. And they're turning red. And the way you really notice the woodbine is because it's a vine, it climbs up over everything. And sometimes it'll climb up a telephone pole. Sometimes it'll climb up, I love it when it climbs up white spruce or balsam. And you get this beautiful green tree with this bright red interior, which is the woodbine turning red. So watch for woodbine. And you know, the other thing that I noticed, and this is a little bit subtle, but if you look at the edge of the road as you're driving along, so you're driving into work this morning, you're looking at the edge of the road, there's like blacktop, and then there's this 3-foot-wide strip of gravel, and then right at the edge of the gravel where the first plants start to grow, you're going to see a kind of a claret red or burgundy kind of a reddish color right there, and that's crabgrass. And if you stop your car and get out and look at the crabgrass, it's gorgeous right now. It's this beautiful burgundy red color. And it's got these seed heads that really remind me a lot of the big bluestem seed head. The big bluestem is the one they call the turkey's foot because it has these three long seed heads that stick out. And crabgrass isn't too far off of that itself. So they're much smaller, of course. Crabgrass is only about 6 inches high. But it is quite startlingly red right now along the edges of the roads. So that red edging along the edge of the road just before you get into the green of the ditch is probably crabgrass. That sort of covers our plant life. Now, in the wildlife areas, let's see, a couple of things to notice. Well, I guess plums are not definitely not wildlife, but the plum crop this year was absolutely fabulous, and there are plums to be had. If you are out and about, you probably can find plums just about everywhere you go, and they really had a bountiful crop this year. So plums are bountiful. The gray goldenrod is kind of at the end of its growing. I see out here in our rain garden, we still have a few. The last flowers of the gray goldenrods are still about. Wild rice, I talked to a couple of people about wild rice. One person, their area had gotten rain just before as the rice got ripe, and a lot of the seeds fell to the water, and there wasn't much rice to be had. I talked to another person whose ricing was very productive and had a very good time and noted the lack of rice worms. So in his area anyway, the little rice worms were not very prevalent. Green darners starting to migrate. My sister-in-law got a gorgeous picture of a green darner dragonfly yesterday, and bluebirds are starting to congregate on the area roadsides. Power lines along Blue Heron Drive, there's probably five or six that are there pretty regularly. I saw a monarch this week. We're getting to the end of the monarch season, so if you're seeing monarchs, it's a good time to make notes of them. Certainly getting right down to the tail end of that. The deer, the fawns are kind of gone, getting their winter coat, and fewer and fewer fawns with spots on them. I saw a couple yesterday, or I guess it was the day before, that had no spots at all. So they had actually gotten into their winter coats, and the does and the bucks have long been, well, not long been, but are definitely further along than the fawns. And lots of geese this past week, lots of big flocks of geese flying overhead. And saw one that quickly estimating numbers, you know, count 10, and the goal of that's 10, that's 20, that's 30, that's 40, and it went all the way up. I had a flock of geese that probably was 100, and then I saw another flock that was in the upper 40s. So there are a lot of geese moving south right now. And final note this week comes from our good friend Ed Dallas down in Deerwood, and Ed has been out walking the gravel roads in his neighborhood, and this cool fall weather brings out the snakes, garter snakes, red belly snakes, maybe in your area milk snakes or king snakes, but for the most part up here it's garter snakes and red bellies, and they come out and they lay on the roads because the sunlight is nice and bright and it warms them up as they get ready for their winter hibernation. But now is the season to watch carefully. And if you're driving and you see something that looks like it might be a stick on the road, well, if you have the opportunity, straddle it rather than run it down. It's better for the snake and better for your psyche. So watch for the garter snakes. They're going to be heading out to the roads to get warm and get ready for hibernation. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, if you have comments, questions, or observations you'd like to share, hey, we're waiting to hear from you. Get in touch with us.
Go to our website, kexe.org, to catch up on Phenology. You can also find links to sign up for the Phenology podcast through iTunes.